That being said, we looked at last week the rapture, and the rapture can happen at any time. And therefore, we're going to get into the day of the Lord, okay? Because there's just so much we talked about last week, I wouldn't have time to do a review. Some pastors do that, and they only get through part of the message. And if they have a larger congregation, then they preach about the rest of it Sunday night. So they keep everybody on hold. They're like, well, okay, I need to come to church Sunday night to hear the rest of the sermon. So that's one of the ways to get people to come on out. So we're looking at the day of the Lord, okay? And we need not to be confused with the day of the Lord, with the day of Christ, and with the last days, the 3 days, okay? The first thing we've got to keep in mind is in the last days that we live in today, okay, it, you know, give you a brief eschatological course here. Okay, it's the last days. It's from Pentecost to the rapture. That is the church age. That's where you and I, where we're coming to church, all right? At the time of the day of Christ, number two, that's going to be when the rapture happens, the day of Christ. When you see the day of Christ, that means we'll be there with the Lord. Day of Christ is going to happen when the Lord comes back. And we looked at this last week. While the tribulation's going on, there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb for those 7 years. And then there's going to be the bema seat of Christ for those 7 years. So we're not going to go through the judgment. Now, the day of the Lord is from the tribulation period. The day of the Lord that we're looking at today, and also in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the day of the Lord is, of course, from that time, from the beginning of the tribulation, that we do not go through the tribulation. That's a time of wrath. We looked at it last week. And that's from then unto the new heavens and the new earth. Okay? That's the day of the Lord. And we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10, as you remember, we went through that in 2 Peter. So you don't have to wait till Revelation. And by the way, when we're done with 1 and 2 Thessalonians, we're going to go through the book of Revelation. Because we had a great time in Sunday school. And I figure, you know what, for those people who can't, we're just going to go with this. We're going to run with this. So, okay. So with that out of the way, I hope we understand our days, right? Okay, fair enough. All right, so chapter 5, we're continuing here in verse 1. But it says here, but concerning the times and the seasons. So there are the times, as means a chronological time, the events that follow one another and roll away into one another. And then there's the seasons, meant to the particular time and nature of events that are to take place. Now, they were looking forward to the Lord coming back. And of course, you had Paul explain to this young church, this is going to be the times and the seasons. And of course, Thessalonians was written before the Gospels were even put out. It was like one of the very first epistles that were written. So it says here, no one knows exact time. Matthew 24:36 says that no one knows about the day and hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father that knows. Okay? So we looked at the Jewish wedding last week and how that all worked out. And of course, we looked at it too when the, I'm not going to go through the whole Jewish wedding again, but basically when the son finds a bride, and we are the bride, okay, and the son is the groom, okay, in a Jewish wedding, there's a time when the son is going to go ahead and build a home for his bride, right? And that's exactly, we looked at all the parallelisms there last week, how Jesus says in John 14, be not ye troubled, for, you know, I go to prepare a place for you, right? John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And so you have God, Jesus, is preparing for a place for each one of us. Okay? So that's what's going on. And so once the place is prepared and is ready, then the father tells his son in the Jewish custom, okay, your house is finished, you're done. Okay, now you can go get your bride. And that's why you have the term thief in the night. We're going to look at this too, because it's going to be a time when the bride, which is us, the church, won't know. Okay, only the father knows. The son doesn't know. The angels don't know. It doesn't mean Jesus is made less than what he is. He's, remember, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. They're separated by three entities, okay? But they are one God, okay? They are the Elohim that created the heavens and earth in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, so the Son, when the Father tells the Son it's time to go, he goes, and the bride is ready. We looked at this last week. And the bride is ready, and we are ready. We're waiting for the Son to come back, right? So what happens is the son comes back as a thief in the night. Nobody knows. The bride doesn't know and takes her. But at the same time, he blows a horn, a trumpet. And so when Jesus comes back for his bride, a trumpet will be blown. The voice of an archangel. We looked at it last week there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. So it's a beautiful picture of the Jewish wedding, and there are other things we talked about. But, you know, that gives me peace. That gives me joy. I hope it does for us all today. That, you know, Christ could explain it that easy. And we also looked at, you know, September 23rd was not the time when Christ comes back, okay? Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Okay? That's the question is. And yet there are many false prophets out there today proclaiming Christ is coming back. Don't listen to them. Even some good teachers. I didn't throw away everything that they taught, but I learned something from them. Keep your mouth shut. Because some people talk too much. And I think we all have to guard our mouth, guard ourselves. So Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees for being unable to discern the seasons by looking around. He told them in Matthew 16, 2 and 3, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you not know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? So remember, he goes on to say, you're hypocrites. You know, you say you know when the storms are going to come, but you can't even discern what I am telling you. And then we see here another example of discerning the sign of the times. It says in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4. But realize this, Paul says here to Timothy, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will all be lovers of self. We're seeing that today. Me first. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, party goers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, malicious gossips. They don't even want to get things right with people as well. Without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I remember Paul Sharp preached on this while I was gone a few years ago. I had to go see my son up in Boston, and then I heard he did a pretty good job. So we want to get Paul back here sometime, you know, to preach from Friends of Israel. Then there's another example of discern the sign of the times. The church becomes corrupted itself. We see so much corruption today. Oh, and it looks so nice, but when you pull back the cover of the book and start reading the pages, there's all kinds of it. Churches today have got some real issues. 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. In other words, make me feel good when I leave church. It was a good time. I was laughing the whole time. I was having such a good time. And it's talking about doctrine too. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. In other words, They're adding and taking away from the Word of God, okay? And of course, they won't tell you that either, but you wonder why you have some churches that are just filled. The parking lots are just filled. Churches are bursting at the beams. You know what? I'm not here to judge churches. That's Christ's job. My job is here, what is to preach the love of God and Word and the truth, and to build you up and to protect you all and to guide you together in truth. And yet, there's some churches out there that I have a big question mark about, but I am not going to go there. Again, God is the judge, not me. Okay, also for another sign of the times, we see with Israel, back in 1917, there were 25,000 Jews, 1945, 500,000. And then in 1948, Israel became recognized as a nation, May 5th, 1948. And now there are over 6 million. So this goes on to say here, too, that we see also in Bible prophecy, that since there's been an increase in travel and knowledge since 1914, the average speed of cars and trucks was 15 to 20 miles an hour. Maybe some of you remember that. I don't know. But until today, there are rockets and satellites that average 24,000 miles an hour. And there's been an explosion with knowledge. And so people going back and forth. And of course, today we live in an age now where AI is taking, it's artificial intelligence, which is taking over everything. And you have also in England this past week, you have workers that are very upset because now for you, in order for you to work, and you'll see it in the news, you have to have a chip. And they're like, oh, no. I remember in Alaska, and I was driving and pasturing. I remember you had a scanner. You had to take your finger. Instead of taking a time clock, it went to that, to the finger scanner. And now they're saying you have to wear chips. That's a little bit, you know what, as I told one elderly saint of God, I said, you know, we're getting closer. This is getting to be exciting. But I don't want to be here during the tribulation. I don't want to be here during the day of the Lord. I want to go when the rapture goes because, yes, those who deny Christ, the rapture happens, guess what? They'll still be here. Can they be saved afterwards? Yes, they can be saved, okay? But it's going to cost you your life because once that happens, the Antichrist will be there and you know, we'll get into that, into Revelation. Okay, enough said about that. And also we see that there's been recorded 15,000 recorded wars in human history. There's been, you know, that as well. And disease and hunger, there's been, and on and on and on. Okay. So, somebody has said to me another good question. What about this 1948 you have? Israel, okay, became a nation in 1948, okay, and this generation, oh, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen in our lifetime? Well, if you study it, you're going to find out a generation could be 20 years, 40 years, 70 years, 80 years, or 100 years from 1948, okay? So I'm not going to even go there because I don't think God wants us to be concerned. But you get people on the internet, they make lots of money, false prophets doing this. And then I get another question about the temple. One, you know, what about that? Well, there's two sites where they believe the temple was. One is the Temple of the Mountain. Another one was at David's time. The archaeologists have found, okay, they have all the instruments they need for the temple, okay? They have all that together now. Remember about 20, 30 years ago, there were building things, making things for the temple. They have everything for that now. And now all they need is just a building to put that in. Because people say, well, you know, the temple must be built before Christ comes back. But I don't think God wants us to be concerned about that. When it comes to that time, it will happen. Okay? What we need to be concerned about is what God has called us to do today. And I'm saying, please, if you're a student of the Bible, keep on rightly dividing the word of truth. But be careful what you hear on the radio. Be careful what you hear and watch and see on the internet. Okay, so let's get into the day of the Lord. So, but concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. because Paul knew that they knew that they didn't need to know all about this, but to trust and obey and to live by faith. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. So the day of the Lord in the Bible occurs 25 times in 23 verses, including the books of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi, Acts, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 2nd Peter. The day of the Lord is not a 24-hour period, but it is a metaphor for the events that are happening following the rapture of the church. The day of the Lord is not going to happen before the rapture. It's not going to happen during the rapture. It's going to happen after the rapture. Okay. And it's a time when it'll start out with a judgment. The tribulation period will go on for 7 years. It's God's judgment upon the earth. And then we'll stretch on to the new heavens and to the new earth. Revelation 21, 22. So the day of the Lord, 2 Peter 3 through 10 says this, knowing this first, that there shall come the last day scoffers. In other words, a scoffer is somebody who knows the truth, who knows the word of God, but says, no, I don't want to hear it, and laughs in your face about it, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? We've had a lot of people say that. A lot of people don't want to hear. A lot of people see it and they get angry, because they know it's the truth. It makes them angry. For since the fathers fell asleep, since they died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly were ignorant. And of that, by the word of God, the heavens of old and the earth standing out of water and into water. So in other words, it's referring to the pre-Genesis flood, and to the time of the flood, to the time after the flood. Okay, people are people wherever you go. Some of you here have traveled all around the world. I've been one of those fortunate ones. And, you know, people are people wherever you go. And it says that, whereby the world that was then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved for fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And says here, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day of the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as of one day. In other words, God stands outside of time. He sees all that's going on. And we can never go ahead and accuse God of doing something wrong, because he does everything right. It's just that he has a plan of the ages, a dispensation, the time of the ages that we are here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise with slackness, but is patient to us word, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So we have the gospel. Even if you want to go witness to somebody about the end times, this is a great group of verses, 2 Peter 3 through 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works thereof shall be burned up. As I said, like what happens to the heavens and the earth at the end times, when God creates new heavens and the earth after the time of the kingdom and after the second death, after the great white throne judgment, and God will incorporate a new heavens and the earth. It has the idea of this. It will come pass away with a great noise. We'll be together with the Lord God, okay? And this will happen outside our realm, and the whole universe will be changed. It'll pass away with a great noise, like a swish of an arrow, a splash of water, a hiss of a serpent. Elements will melt to untie or unleash. Components of matter, protons, electrons, and neutrons are all going to disintegrate. Okay, remember, everything is held together, like Jesus said, by the word of his mouth. Everything is consistent, held together. The entire universe will be consumed by fire. There'll be a cleansing with this. Why was Peter saying this? Is the knowledge of the coming events would be affecting our behavior and revising our priorities. Our lives should be marked with holiness and godliness, praying for the coming of the Lord, thy kingdom come. So we are looking forward to that, people and the Lord. And it says here, for you know yourselves perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And so remember, it's the groom, the thief comes as a groom, like I mentioned earlier, comes unexpected for the bride. In other words, it's a metaphor. The thief in the night is a metaphor. Yeah, it will be time. We are ought to be getting ready for it, living holy, righteous lives. In other words, we're living apart from the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. We're living godly lives. I cannot say this more than enough all day long that we need to be prepared, okay, as a bride waiting for the groom to come back, okay? Are we going to fail God? Yes, we have failed God this past week. Are we going to get things right under the blood of Christ? Yes, we are. Are we going to go ahead and continue on? Yes, we are. Even like in Proverbs says, the righteous man falleth and he gets up, okay, seven times. That word seven is a word of number of completeness. God wants to complete the work that he has in each one of us. Okay? The thief in the night also comes in Revelation 3:3. Says, remember therefore what I have received and heard and obey it, repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come as a thief, and you will not know at what time I would come to you. That's Revelation 3:3. Revelation 16:15 says this, behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go on naked and shamefully exposed. There was one person called Larry Norman, 1969, from that series Left Behind. It was called that series, A Thief in the Night. You probably know about that. He says, life was filled with guns and war, talking about fighting. And all of us got trampled on the floor. That means people were in panic. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died. The days grew cold. In other words, they waxed cold. When it says something wax, it means it grows. It waxed. That word wax, it means it grows. Cold. That means the churches are getting colder out there. In other words, they're walking away from the doctrinal principles. A lot of them become social hubs, and I'm not criticizing them. I'm talking about the fellowship with Jesus Christ to build each other up. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. If you're making $50,000 today, that comes out to $200 for a loaf of bread. This is talking about tribulation time. I wish we had all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. In other words, people are in panic. People have already gotten the mark of the beast. And so people are in panicky mode. The sun has come and you've been left behind. A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish you'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears. One left. I wish we had been ready. You know, when I was reading this song, Kimberly and I used to play this song at different churches with my bass and her with her guitar. It brought tears to my eyes because I was thinking how true it is. People who will one day be left behind. Life was filled with guns and war, and all of us had gotten trampled on the floor. I wish we had all been ready. Children died. The days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd been all ready. And then the chorus says, there's no time to change your mind because you've already taken the mark of the beast. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Remember, people can still get saved if they haven't taken the mark. The Father spoke, he gave permission, and the demons died. That means they were allowed in the book of Revelation, a third of all humanity will be killed when the demons, the locusts, will be let out of the pit. And then, how could you have been so blind? There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Remember this, that God's in control. Through the book of Revelation during the tribulation period, God is in control. There's even one point where there's going to be an angel that's going to call out the salvation of the Lord. And people are still don't want to get saved, even those who haven't taken the mark. Okay? So this is happening very quickly. And I'm saying to you, by the grace of God, before you know it, it's going to be here. Thank God we won't be here. Amen. Verse 3 says, when they say peace and safety. In other words, it kind of reminds me of back in the 60s when they had the love movement, the peace movement, and the hippie movement back in the day. In the summer of 69, remember the draft was going on. I remember my brother and I looking at the newspaper and him being much older than I was saying, oh, my number's not there. Thank God I don't have to get to Vietnam. Okay? There were still wars. There was a false peace, a false love that summer of 69. The churches were sleeping. Remember, a lot of churches started to decline in numbers. Assassinations went through during the 60s. You remember that. The riots were happening out in the streets and on and on. But there'll be like a false security, a false peace. And then we see here that also the day of the Lord, it says in Hebrews 2:3, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It's referring to the day of the Lord. How are we going to accept it? How are we going to escape from it if we don't accept that salvation? So, moving on here, it says here that then sudden destruction comes upon them, and labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And of course, I had no comment about that. Women know what that's all about. Guys are just there holding their hands saying, you can make it, honey, I'm praying for you. You know, in other words, they go through these contractions. They happen a little bit at first, and they become more often, okay, to the point where they're ready to give birth. And that's got to be one of the, as my wife put it, a very anguish, it's extreme pain, okay, to go through. And you all know that, and I'm being very careful what I say. And that's what will happen, a sign of the times. You'll see it more often happening, more frequently. Okay? So Amos says this. Oh, excuse me, I'm back up here. So the pregnant woman, and it'll be labor pains, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, and the day of the Lord should overtake you as a thief. Amos 5. 18 through 20 says, woe unto you, desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness. It is not light. It says here, as a man did flee from a lion and a bear meet him, or went into a house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. So you can't get away from this darkness that's going to come, because a third of light is, you know, a third of the moon, you won't be able to see it. A third of the earth, you won't be able to see it, because a third of the sun will be darkened too. So no matter where you go, you can run from a lion, you can run from a bear, you run inside and the darkness will still be there. You'll be, as it was using as a metaphor, as a snake will bite you. The dark will consume people. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even dark and no brightness in it? Okay, it is a literal darkness as well as a spiritual darkness. I think, you know, how bad can that be? It's pretty bad. And then we see here in verse 5, you are all sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Let us not sleep as others do, but watch and be sober. So, we need to be awake for that. Again, we see what happens with the church. The church becomes cold in the last days that we live in. It's waxing cold. In other words, there's not that love. Remember back in Ephesians, it says there in Revelation, the church of Ephesus, they were doing everything right, but they were doing one thing wrong, and that was doing what? They lost their first love. They were just going through pitiful. They were just going through everyday motions, and they were doing things that they thought was right, but they lost that first love, and it becomes cold. And what happens with people after a while within churches, they start to fall away. We start seeing that with apostasy. People just aren't in it anymore, okay? They go for all the wrong reasons, not the right reasons. There's a moral decay, a falling away, a lawlessness. There's a, you know, I told one person this past week, I'll be praying for you and your family for spiritual discernment, because I'm not going to get into it, and I have no right to say if it was done in private, but they're having issues at home, and they think it's a spiritual battle. And I said, I'm just praying for spiritual discernment. What I'm trying to tell you today, my brother, you might be going through some spiritual battles, really hot and heavy ones. Remember who's behind it. Remember who wants to take you down. It might be one of your loved ones you're having issues with, because look, I'm living for the Lord. I'm being faithful, but you know what? Things aren't right. And the devil knows his time's coming to an end. He knows. He would have never taken Jesus to the cross if he had known. Remember, he was made perfect in wisdom. I'm saying this hiding behind the cross because he hates me saying this. But God is all wise, all powerful. Satan in this time was made perfect in wisdom until he fell. Does it make him deceptive, a murderer, et cetera, et cetera? Yes, it does. And he wants to take out God's families. If he can't get to you, watch it. He's going to go after somebody else in your family. Okay, so what we need to do here says verse 6, do not fall asleep spiritually as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So, in other words, to watch, it means to be alert, to be sober. You know, I really believe that God gives us grace when we're so tired we can't think, and we're not putting one and one together, that God gives us grace once we get refreshed. He tells us. I really do, through His Holy Spirit. I think He speaks to us every day, and He gives us the grace to push on, to do another day. And but you have those who fall asleep. They no longer are alert to the things of God. They no longer are alive to God, thinking and keeping their thoughts upon God. They no longer are worshiping God or praying and fellowshipping with God and His people. They no longer are anticipating the return of Christ. They're no longer an active for God, serving or working for the Lord. So we need to encourage one another. We need to be on the rebound. We need to keep on passing the ball, so to speak, the word of God to one another on the court. And we need to be sharing it with one another and building each other up. So, but there, and then Paul goes on to say here for the verse 7, those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who are drunk at night. In other words, that's another metaphor for those people who like the darkness, the spiritual darkness. And so, but he goes on to say here, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation. The breastplate of faith and love, the breastplate protects and covers the heart of the believer and kept faith and love with the forefront. So we need to have that, protect our hearts, the breastplate of righteousness. Number two, the helmet is the protecting our minds, the helmet of our salvation. We need to protect our minds because the heart, the devil can't get to our hearts. He's going to try to get to our minds. And so there's that battle. And we need to be clear-headed and self-controlled. And continue on here to verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath. Thank God for that. In John chapter 5, verse 24, says, verily, verily, I say unto you, here that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, that's judgment, but has passed from death unto life. So we're not going to go through this. Yes, we are sinners because of what happened with Adam. It started with sin. So spiritually, we are dead through Adam. But Jesus Christ has made the second Adam. And it's because of that, thank God, according to Romans chapter 5, 14 through 19, we don't have the time. But because of sin, we are appointed to wrath. But thank God, through Jesus Christ, we bypass that. Thank God through Him that He has already taken on all the sins of us. I can't even get over it even to this day, and I keep on repeating it every time. Why does God love me? You know, because He loves you. He loves me. and he died for us. Okay? And that's good enough for me. And I'm very thankful for that. 'Twas the night before Jesus came. And all through the house, not a creature was praying. Not one in the house. The Bibles were laying on the shelf without care in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing their head. And Mom, in her rocker with baby on her lap, was watching Late Show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash and tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When it, what to my wondering eyes should appear, but angels proclaimed that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment that it must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning just as he had said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, and I cried when I saw him in spite of myself, in the book of life which held his hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. Then he said, "It's not here." My head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love had gathered to take his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without a sound while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and sealed my faith. I stood and I cried as I rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. The words of the poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when it comes the last call, we'll find the Bible was true after all. And I don't know who wrote that, but I thought it's interesting. You know, poems, I don't really get into them, but, you know, sometimes you read them and they have a lot to tell you. Verse 10 says this, who died for us, that's Jesus Christ, and so we obtain our salvation, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or we have departed or we're dying, okay, that we have this comfort, we should live together with him. In other words, we have a home away from home. There is no place like home. Therefore, comfort one another and edify one another just as you also are doing. So we need to exhort. We need to encourage. We need to admonish one another. We need to edify. We need to strengthen. We need to build each other up. So what I'm saying here in conclusion is this. What is the day of the Lord? It's more than a 24-hour period of time. It's a metaphor for what's going to happen from the time right after the rapture takes place, day of the Lord, all the way to when God makes the new heavens and the new earth. Okay, it's an eschatological event. It's talking about the end times. In other words, God has sent his grace upon us, the Gentiles. What is a Gentile? It's somebody who's not Jewish. And then after that happens, God's going to send his grace to the Jewish people. But yes, if you're still Gentile here, if you're listening today, and you reject Christ, you will have a chance. But it will be very difficult, because unless you take the mark of the beast, they will kill you. And in other words, they will hunt you down. That's, by the way, the word persecuted has the idea of being hunted down. They will hunt you down. And by the way, pray for the Christians in Niger who are being hunted down by Islamic extremists right now. It's happening even today. They hate Christians. They hate the name of Christ. It is the day of the Lord is will be a day of judgment on earth. It will also be a day of the kingdom. It will also be a day of new heavens and the earth. Okay? And then it will be a day of salvation. It will also be a day when we don't know. Matthew 24 is talking about the time of the tribulation period, but also the same signs we see coming, like as birth pangs to a woman, they will increase and increase and increase. It will get very bad by the time that horn is blown. One expositor said in armies, they used to have different horns, and this one horn has the idea of the trumpet as being a large, a loud horn, and yet it'll be a time when things get really bad for the armies. And so we are the army of the Lord. And so we are going to continue to fight this fight with the captain of the host, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are told also to live righteously. So what's going to happen? You've heard of that, and I'm closing with this. You heard the word of Maranatha. You've heard of that. And it means the Lord is coming soon. So you've heard of Maranatha Church or whatever. The Lord is coming soon. We live in a time of comfort. 3 points and I'm done. We live in a day of comfort, physically, mentally, and spiritually. For most people, they're very comfortable around here, you know. There's a convenience. You can go to stores wherever you want. You can drive anywhere you want. Easy to save time and do more. But there's going to be a price down the road. We can already see this happening. There's going to be control. Whatever's happening behind the scenes, and it's part of the Antichrist system, it's part of the world system, they will want to take more and more control of what you're doing. They're doing experiments around the world. Like I said, in England, if you want to go to work now, they're trying to say you have to have a chip. It irritates you, doesn't it? Because you think, man, you know, I'm going to work. What am I supposed to do? You have to have a chip in my hand? It's ridiculous. I thought the finger scanner was crazy. I like the old clock. You just clock in, and, you know. Control that has the idea of taking over. And it's all part of God's allowing this to happen with the end times for the day of the Lord to take place. And so don't get frustrated or angry. Get excited. Say, hey, look, it's been saying this in the Bible all this time. Wake up. Come on, time's drawing near. The groom is coming back for the bride, for the church. This is great. Okay, and that's pretty much all I had to say for this morning. But